我们今天我们高兴啊 ，Andy 啊，就是静灵弟兄再次来跟我们分享神的话语。
We are glad that today Andy's going to share God's word.
弟兄姐妹好。
Greetings, brothers and sisters.
刚刚在牧师在祷告的时候啊，他有提到这个创造天地的神。
And as Pastor was leading us in prayer, that he mentioned the God who created heaven and earth.
那刚刚诗班献诗的时候
，and as choir sang，
也在讲说，当我们向山举目观看的时候，我们的帮助从何而来
？Where does my help come from as I lift my eyes to the mountains？
他说是从帮造天地的神而来
，and it's from the God who created heaven and earth。
我们在刚开始敬拜的时候唱诗的时候我们也唱了那一首有一位神
And as we were singing, we also sang about the only God.
的歌词里面说有一位神
There is a God.
我们的神
Our God.
唯一的神
The only God.
名叫耶和华
His name is Jehovah.
他是昔在今在永在的神
He is an everlasting God.
在很多的诗歌里面都告诉我们当我们有困难的时候我们要如何的仰望神
And many songs we also hear how when we're in the midst of problems that we ought to look to God
今天呢我们来看看在旧约当中呢神应许这个以色列民在他们亡国之后70年他们可以回到他们原来的地方
And today we're going to look at the Old Testament how Godpromised Israelites that after went to captivity, that after 70 years they will return to their land.
以色列人这一次的回归呢，在以色列的历史上是一件很重要的事情。
It was a very important event in the history of Israel when they returned to their land.
圣经上有记载，就是大概在西元前538年左右的时候。大约有50000个以色列人跟着所罗巴伯一起回到耶路撒冷。
So the Bible records that in about 538 BC, about 50,000 people returned to Jerusalem with Zerubbabel.
他们呢回去的最主要的目的是重建这个圣殿。
And the purpose of their return was to rebuild the temple.
可是呢他们一回去以后呢因为周围这些撒玛利亚人的反对。
But when they returned, the problem of the opposition of the local Samaritans.
他们就停下来了。
They stopped.
一直到什么时候呢？一直到这个先知哈该和撒加利亚出来责备他们。
They stopped until the prophet Haggai and Zechariah came out and rebuked them.
责备这些以色列人呢？他们忘了回来的目的。
And they rebuked them that the Israelites forgot their purpose for the return.
结果才在西元前大概515年的时候的把圣殿盖完。
And so finally in 515 BC, they rebuilt the temple.
大概花了20多年的时间。
About 20 plus years.
这就是我们一般称的第二圣殿。
And this is what we usually term as the second temple.
半个世纪以后呢以斯拉又率领了一批人回耶路撒冷。
And then about half centuries later, Ezra brought more people back.
他回去是干什么呢？他回去是重建以色列的宗教制度。
And he went back to reestablish the religious system of Israel.
因为他们被巴比伦俘虏到这个巴比伦去以后，已经很久了，所以他们的这个整个的这个跟外族通婚等等这些东西就已经很乱了。
Because they have been in captivity for so long that.Intermarriage and issues like that existed.
接着呢，在西元前大概446年的时候，尼希米又带领了一批人回耶路撒冷。
And then 446 BC, Nehemiah brought more people back.
他带这些人回去，这时候的这一次的主要目的是什么？是重建耶路撒冷旁边的这个城墙，整个圣城的城墙。
And the main purpose of his return is to rebuild the walls around the city.
所以从第一批人以色列人回去一直到尼希米把城墙建造完成大概花了一个世纪的时间。
And so from the time of the first return to the time that Nehemiah built the wall, it was about one whole century.
今天是我第三次跟大家分享尼希米的信息。
And this is the third time that I'm sharing with everyone the message of Nehemiah.
我们先稍微回顾一下他建造城墙的经过。
Let's review a little bit about the process of rebuilding the wall.
在尼希米记第二章里面特别提到尼希米呢，他对这个建造耶路撒冷城墙呢有很大的负担。
And chapter 2, we see that Nehemiah had a great burden for the rebuilding of the wall.
他禁食祷告，他等待神的时间。
He fasted and waited for God's time.
但是在这个等待的过程当中呢，他并没有闲着。
But in the process of waiting, he was not idle.
他很仔细地去规划建造城墙所该做的事情，所需要的资源。
He was very careful in planning the needs and the plans for rebuilding the wall.
诶，结果几个月之后，神听了他的祷告。
So after a few months, God listened, heard his prayer.
神呢，激动了波斯王的心。
And God moved the heart of the king of Persia.
波斯王就主动问他说：“你为什么面带愁容啊？”
And the king asked him and initiated and asked the question of why is your face filled with
他就顺水推舟的把他的要求提出来。
And that's when he brought up his request.
结果呢，王不单单答应了他的要求。
So the king not only said yes to his request.
让他去耶路撒冷。
So that he could go to Jerusalem.
也提供了他所有他盖建造城墙需要的资源还有安全的这个保障。
He also provided all the resources and the assurance and protection for building the wall.
尼希米到了耶路撒冷以后呢，他就召集所有的犹太人。
And after Nehemiah went to Jerusalem, he gathered all the Israelites.
他就要开始建造城墙。
And he's going to begin building the wall.
没有想到呢，这个时候周围的敌人又联合起来要攻击他们。
But at this time, all the surrounding people decided to gather together and fight against them.
要破坏他们的计划。
And to destroy their plan.
犹大人呢，就在尼希米的领导之下呢，他们祈求神的帮助。
But the Jews under the leadership of Nehemiah asked God for help.
所有的人就一边做工，一边就拿着这个兵器。
So all the people, as they were working, they carried their weapons.
就这样来防备敌人，终于呢，他们成功了，阻止了敌人的这个计划。
And so they were fighting against their enemies, and finally, by this method, they defeated the enemies.
中文里面有一句话叫做屋漏偏逢连夜雨。
There's a saying in Chinese, basically when there's a hole in the roof, that's when you get the pouring rain, continuous pouring rain.
意思就是说屋顶破了。
So when you have a hole in your roof,
屋顶还没修好呢，就开始下雨。
Before you could fix it, it starts to rain.
下雨还没关系，它一下就下好几天。
And a little rain is not a big deal, but it continues to rain.
这句话的意思呢，它就是形容了一件一件一件不如意的事一直来。
So this saying is saying that the bad things keep coming.
我们刚刚讲第四章里面已经讲提到了尼希米去那边，然后这个阻止了这个外面敌人的攻击的计划。
So we see that Nehemiah has prevented the attacks from the outside.
他以为可以开始专心再继续建造城墙了。
He thought now is a time where he could begin to build the wall.
结果出现了更多的状况。
But more problems came.
而且呢，这个问题呢，都出自大部分出自内部。
And most of these problems were internal.
这些事情都记在尼希米记的第五章跟第六章。
And these events were recorded in Nehemiah chapter 5 and 6.
因为经文很多，所以这也是我今天要跟大家分享的，我就挑了一些比较重要的经文，我们一起看。
So there's a number of verses, but I just picked out the more important ones so that we could look at it.
我们先看尼希米记第五章的第一节到第五节。
So let's first look at Nehemiah chapter 5 verses 1 to 5.
百姓和他们的妻大大呼嚎，埋怨他们的弟兄犹大人。有的说我们和儿女人口众多，要去得粮食度命。
Now there was a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. For there were those who said, We, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore let us get grain.That we may eat and live.
有的说我们 点了田地、葡萄园、房屋，要得粮食充饥。有的说我们已经指着田地、葡萄园借了钱给王纳税。
There were others who said, we are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses that we might eat grain because of the famine. Also, there were those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards.
我们的身体与我们弟兄的身体一样，我们的儿女与他们的儿女一般。现在我们将要使儿女做人的仆婢。我们的女儿已有为卑的，我们并无力拯救，因为我们的田地、葡萄园已经归了别人。
Now our flesh is like the flesh of our brothers, our children like their children. Yet behold, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters are forced into bondage already, and we are helpless because our fields and vineyards belong to others.
刚刚我们提到，他前面刚刚阻止了这些敌人的进攻。外面敌人的进攻。
We had just mentioned that Nehemiah had prevented the attacks from the outside.
可是这时候犹太人的内部发生了一个危机。
But unfortunately, there's a crisis within.
这个危机呢，是部分的犹太人呢生活困难，日子呢过不下去。
And this crisis is part of some of the Israelites. Their lives are very difficult, and they cannot continue as is it.
它的原因是为什么呢？原因是因为他们自己的弟兄。放高利贷。
The problem is that their own brothers are applying usury.
他们借钱给自己的亲戚同胞，可是他们收取很高的利息。
They lend to their own relatives and their own people, yet they're collecting high interest.
刚刚我们念的经文里面，我们看到当时生活有困难的这些犹大人呢，大致上是因为两个原因。
And we see that there's in general two reasons why some of the Jews were in hardship.
一种是因为家中的粮食不够，所以没有办法过日子。
One is because there was insufficient grain at home and they cannot continue.
第二个原因是因为税太贵了。
The other was because of the high taxes.
所以呢，他们呢典当了自己的田地。
So they had to pawn off their own land.
甚至把自己的儿女呢。就是卖给人家当奴仆。
And even their own children, they had to sell to become slaves.
虽然暂时解决了他们这个吃饭的问题。
Even though it temporarily solved the problem of eating.
但是他们已经没有力量把这些田地或者儿女赎回来。
But they no longer have the ability to redeem their land or their children.
其实用今天的话语用今天的眼光来看的话
But if you look at it from today's perspective,
这就是一个弱势的团体受到欺压。
This is the oppression of the weak.
这个是一个社会不公义的问题。
This is the problem of social injustice.
在圣经上的记载呢，这个贷款利息的这种状况呢，过去好像一直没有人在抱怨。
It appears as though the application of usury and high interest is not something that people complained about in the past.
也没有人提出这个问题来。
And people did not bring this up as an issue.
可是现在因为加上粮食的恐慌，这问题就发生了。
But at this time, especially as famine occurred, it was people looked at it more.
其实粮食不足的问题呢，它有可能。最有可能它发生的原因呢，是因为耶路撒冷被这个破坏以后呢，这些人被掳了以后呢，就这个地方很多年都没有被耕种。
And probably what happened is that after the captivity, around the Jerusalem, the land was not tilled for many years.
后来呢，陆续又有很多的犹大人回归耶路撒冷。
And then over time, more and more Israelites came back.
再加上饥荒
，plus famine，
所以呢，他的粮食供应不足
，so there was insufficient grain。
老百姓呢，这日子过不下去，就开始抗议
，and the people cannot continue this way。
我们来看看这个尼希米怎么处理这个状况
，and let us look at how Nehemiah took care of this problem。
这个是记载在五章第六节到第十节
，and this is recorded in chapter 5 verses 6 to 10。
我听见他们呼号说这些话便是发怒我心里筹划 就斥责贵胄和官长说，你们个人向弟兄取利，于是我遭拒大会攻击他们。
Then I was very angry and I heard their outcry and these words. I consulted with myself and contended with the nobles and the rulers and said to them, you are exacting usury each from his brother. Therefore, I held a great assembly against them.
我对他们说，我们尽力赎回我们弟兄，就是卖于外邦的犹大人，你们还要卖弟兄使我们赎回来吗？他们就静默不语，无话可答。
I said to them, we according to our ability have redeemed our Jewish brothers who were sold to the nations. Now will you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us? Then they were silent and could not find a word to say.
我又说，你们所行的不善，你们的行事不当敬畏我们的神吗？不然难免我们的仇敌外邦人毁谤我们。我和我的弟兄与仆人也将银钱粮食借给百姓，我们大家都当免去利息。
Again, I said, the thing which you are doing is not good. Do you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? And likewise, I, my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. Please let us leave off this usury.
我们看到犹大百姓从回到耶路撒冷以后，因为他们接受这个尼希米的呼召，他们就一起开始建造城墙。
And we see that the Jews who returned under Nehemiah began to build.
可是当他们在这个侍奉的时候呢，有一些富有的这个犹大弟兄呢，就借着这个借贷款给这些贫苦的这个犹大人呢，然后收取很高的利息。
But at the same time, what we saw is that the wealthy Jews were lending money to those who are suffering and gathering a great interest from them.
我们刚刚提到这个收取利息的情况，应该已经存在有一段相当的时间。
And as we looked at this, the issue of usury has probably been happening for quite a while.
可是尼希米跟其他的领袖一直也没有注意到这个事情。
But Nehemiah and other leaders probably did not pay attention to this.
好像也觉得没有什么不对。
Perhaps they didn't think much of it.
其实放高利贷这个问题呢，在律法上是错的。
But the issue with usury is wrong according to the law.
我们看看利未记里面怎么记载。
Let's see what Leviticus says.
你的弟兄在你那里若渐渐贫穷，手中缺乏，你就要帮补他，使他与你同住，像外人和寄居的一样，不可向他取利，也不可向他多要，只要敬畏你的神，使你的弟兄与你同住，你借钱给他，不可向他取利，借粮给他，也不可向他多要。
Now in case a countryman of yours become poor and his means with regard to you falter, then you are to sustain him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Do not take usurious interest from him, but revere your God that your countryman may live with you. You shall not give him your silver at interest, nor your food for grain.
其实规定是很清楚的。
But the law is very clear.
这种做法是违背了上帝的律法。
This kind of action is against God's law.
尼希米呢，一旦知道了这个问题呢，他就责怪他们。
Nehemiah, as soon as he found out this issue, he rebuked them.
他跟他们说，你们所行的不善，你们不当敬畏我们的神吗？
He said, what you're doing is wrong, and do you not fear God?
因为这种行为呢，他不但不顾自己的同胞。
Because such action, not only do they not care about their own people,
也是因为他没有一个敬畏神的心。
But it's also that they do not have a fear for God.
这样子会羞辱神的名。
And thus, putting God's name to shame.
因为犹大人他忽视了律法，造成了这个内部的问题。
Because the Jews ignored the law, therefore it caused this internal problem.
我们看见放高利贷是一个直接的原因。
We see that the usury is a direct problem.
但是从属灵的角度来看呢，这是缺乏爱心。
But from a spiritual perspective, it's a lack of love.
其实这也是一个生命的问题。
And it's also a life issue.
因为爱神啊不爱爱人爱爱邻舍是神的命令。
Because God has commanded, us to love our neighbors.
我们看看约翰一书三章十七节里面怎么说。
And let us look at 1 John 3:17.
凡有世上财物的看见弟兄穷乏却塞住连续的心爱神的心怎能存在他里面呢？
But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?
我们继续来看看，尼希米除了叫大家要免去利息之外，他还跟他们说了些什么话。
And let us continue to look at, besides, Nehemiah, besides telling the people to stop the usury, what else did he tell the people?
他说，自从我奉派做犹大地的省长，就是从亚达薛西王20年直到32年，共12年之久，我与我弟兄都没有吃省长的俸禄，在我以前的省长加重百姓的担子，每日所要粮食和酒，并银子和四十色克勒，就是他们的仆人也辖制百姓，但我因敬畏神，不这样行。
Moreover, from the day that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, for 12 years, neither I nor my kinsmen have eaten the governor's food allowance, but the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants domineered the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God.
并且我恒心修造城墙，并没有自买田地，我的仆人也都聚集在那里做工，除了从四围和外邦中的犹大人以外，有犹大平民和官长150人在我席上吃饭。
I also applied myself to the work on this wall. We did not buy any land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work.Moreover, there were at my table 150 Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us.
尼希米教训这些长官和这个贵族，不单单呢，他只是用神的律法。
Nehemiah rebuked the nobles and the rulers. Not only did he use God's law,
而且他用他自己的所作所为来做见证。
He also used his own actions as a witness.
我们知道尼希米是一个被掳的犹太人。
We know that Nehemiah was also one of the captive, Israels.
结果呢，他做了这个波斯王的酒政。
And eventually he became the cupbearer for the king.
他的地位甚至超过一般的这个巴比伦的人，波斯人。
And, his position has exceeded the average Persian.
可是他并没有说只顾他自己的利益。
But he did not only consider his own advantage.
他一直以他自己的同胞和家乡啊为念。
He continuously thought about his own people and his own country.
他当了12年的省长。
He was a governor for 12 years.
以前的省长呢，如何管理这个百姓，如何收取这个俸禄，虽然都没有违背这个波斯的这个律法。
And how the, previous governors have ruled the place and exacted taxes from the people, it was not against the law.
可是尼希米的所作所为跟他们不一样。
But what Nehemiah did was different.
他提这些东西呢，并不是要说他有多清廉啊，多好。
He mentioned these things not to say how great he was.
而是因为在他的心里面，他觉得他不单单只是要对波斯王负责。
But in his heart, he, felt that he's not only responsible only to the king of Persia.
而是他要向至高全能的上帝来负责。
But he is responsible to make an account with the, king of kings.
所以呢，他在五章第十五节的时候，他有说，我因敬畏神，所以不这样行。
And so in, chapter 5 verse 15, he says, I don't do this because I fear God.
而且在十九节的时候他也说，我的神啊，求你纪念我为这百姓所行的一切事，施恩于我。
And in, verse 19, he says, remember me for all that I have done for the people.
弟兄姐妹，尼希米他最可贵的地方。
Brothers and sisters, one of the valuable traits of Nehemiah
是他把他自己的道德和行事的标准提高了。
Is that he raised his own morality and, the principles which guide him.
他不只只只是他不单单只是说去遵循法律。
Not only did he meet the letter of the law,
他甚至甘心乐意的去超越这个标准。
But he exceeded that standard.
因为他有一颗敬畏神的心。
Because he had a fear of God.
而且他愿意把这个荣耀都归给神。
And he was willing to give all the glory to God.
弟兄姐妹，在教会里面有我们知道啊，有教会的建筑物或者教会的硬体，这个东西是很重要的。
And we know that in a church, the building and the things are important.
但是教会内部的和谐和弟兄姐妹的这个有爱心，这是一个真正的基础。
But the unity and the love within the church is a true foundation.
今天在我们教会当中呢，我们没有这种放高利贷的问题。
In our church, we don't have the issue with usury.
但是我们是不是有一颗敬畏神的心？
But do we have a heart that fears God?
是不是常常会注意到我们自己的行为会不会影响别人对神的看法？
Do we ask ourselves that whether our actions will impact other people?
在彼得前书的二章十二节里面，他提醒我们要注意自己的行为，好叫那些外邦人能够看见我们的好行为，便将荣耀归给神。
And Peter, he talks about how we ought to examine our actions so that we will be a good witness for others.
接下来呢，在第六章里面呢，这个内乱完了呢，第六章里面呢，我发生了更猛烈的攻击。
And in chapter 6, even worse attack came from.
在第六章里面呢，单单惧怕这个字呢，出现了五次。
And in chapter 6, the word fear appears five times.
敌人呢，用各种不同的方法来想要杀害尼希米。
The enemy tried different ways to kill Nehemiah.
第一次是在尼希米记的六章二到四节，我们看一下。
And the first time is from chapter 6, verses 2 to 4.
申巴拉和基善就打发人来见我说，请你来，我们在阿那平原的一个村庄相会。他们却想害我，于是我差遣人去见他们说，我现在办理大功，不能下去，焉能停工下去见你们呢？他们这样四次打发人来见我，我都如此回答他们。
Then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, Come, let us meet together at Kepharim on the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying,I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? They sent messages to me four times in this manner, and I answered them in the same way.
敌人设下的陷阱想要害他。
His enemy, set a trap trying to harm him.
阿那平原呢，离这个耶路撒冷的北边大概有十个英里。
The plain of Ono, is about 10 miles north of, Jerusalem.
在今天大概不远了，在那个时候是蛮远的。
In today's standard, it's not too far, but back then it was far.
尼希米只要到那边的话，就很容易被绑架或者被杀害。
If Nehemiah went, he could easily be kidnapped or killed.
因为离耶路撒冷太远。
Because it's too far away from Jerusalem.
可是尼希米他看穿了敌人的这个阴谋。
But Nehemiah recognized this trap.
知道他只要去的话，很可能会被杀害。
He knows that if he went, he probably would be killed.
所以他就四次差遣人回答他们。
So four times he sent messengers.
他说，我现在在办理大功，不能停工，焉能停工下去见你们呢？
I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?
弟兄姐妹，在侍奉，在我们侍奉的过程当中，我们经常会受到一些试探。
And, brothers and sisters, as we serve, in the process of serving, oftentimes we're tempted.
所以呢，希望我们也能够在这边呢，学习尼希米呢，他不单单是对试探说不，而且他是一直跟试探说不。
He not only said no to these temptations, but he continuously said no.
我们再看, 他们第一次不成, 第二次怎么陷害他?
And they tried this first. What do they do next?
申巴拉第五次打发仆人来见我, 手里拿着未封的信, 信上写着说, 外邦人中有风声, 加斯木也说, 你和犹大人谋反, 修造城墙, 你要做他们的王, 你又派先知在耶路撒冷, 指着你宣讲说, 在犹大有王, 现在这话必传于王之, 所以请你来, 我们彼此商议。
Then Sambala sent his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, It is reported among the nations, and Geshmu says, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. Therefore, you are rebuilding the wall, and you are to be their king, according to these reports. You have also appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you. A king is in Judah. And now it will be reported to the king according to these reports. So come now, let us take counsel together.
仇敌看他不来呢，就拿着一个未封的信来找他。
And so since he did not come, Sambala sent an open letter to him.
未封的信就是公开信。
It's an open letter.
任何有心的人呢，都可以看见，都可以去念。
Anyone who wants to can read it.
这个对传播谣言有很大的帮助。
And this is a great help to the spreading of rumors.
信里面呢，甚至呢，把这个说以前先知讲的这个话呢，套在你心里的头上，根本就没有这回事。可是他们把它套在他的身上。But
in the letter, basically what the prophets had said, he attributed to Nehemiah.
而且威胁说要把这个事情报告到王那边去。And
he threatened to report this thing to the king.
这种指控跟谣言呢，通常来讲，对不知情的这个波斯王啊或其他的人是很容易被影响的。And
these kind of rumor and accusation, to someone not in the know, like the king of Persia, it could perhaps have a great sway.
他目的就是要毁谤他，让他害怕。And
the purpose is to falsely accuse him and also to cause fear.
最后一招也是最阴狠的一招，也是最厉害的。
And last is also the worst attack.
他说我到了这个米西大别的孙子地莱亚的儿子示玛雅家里，那时他闭门不出。他说我们不如在神的殿里会面，将殿门关锁，因为他们要来杀你，就是夜里来杀你。我说像我这样的仆人岂要逃跑？ 那像我这样的人岂能进入殿里保全生命呢？我不进去。我看民神没有差遣他，是他自己说这话攻击我，是多比亚和申巴拉会买的他。When
I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. But I said, Should a man like me flee, and could one such as I go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered his prophecy against me because of Tobiah and Sambalat and had hired him.
敌人收买了当时我们所谓的宗教领袖。
The enemy had bought the so-called religious leader of the time.
就是这个示玛雅。That's
Shemaiah.
我们不知道尼希米去访问他的真正原因是什么。We
don't know why Nehemiah went to see him.
但可是重要的是当尼希米敲这个门的时候。But
the important thing is that when Nehemiah knocked on the door.
他没有开门。He
did not open the door.
他隔着门说他们要来杀你，就是今天晚上要来杀你，说你的。 来店里面吧。
He said, well, they're planning on killing you at night, so come into the temple.
他们想要借着这个祭司呢的身份地位，让尼希米不怀疑。
They want to use the position of a priest so that Nehemiah would not suspect.
那尼希米呢就会到这个店里面去。
And Nehemiah would go into the temple.
所以呢，他们就能够名正言顺的把他处死。
Then they could rightly execute him.
为什么呢?
Why?
因为祭司，因为这个圣殿啊，只有祭司为了献祭才能进去。
Because the temple can only be entered by the priest.
一般人呢，只要擅闯这个圣殿的话，是干犯神的这个圣洁。
And for an average person to just enter the temple is against God's holiness.
所以这种半真半假的谎言啊，其实最可怕。
So the half truth, half lie is the worst type of.
我们记得在这个主耶稣在旷野受魔鬼试探的时候，也是用类似的方式。魔鬼也是用类似的方式，一半是真的，一半是假的。
We see that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan used the same attack. It was a half truth.
所以我们不得不佩服尼西米他的智慧，他的回答。
So we really admired Nehemiah's answer.
像我这样的人，岂要逃跑呢？像我这样的人，岂能进圣殿保全性命呢？我不进去。
Should a man like me flee, and could one such as I go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in.
很多时候，我们真的不知道魔鬼会用什么的方法来试探我们。
Oftentimes, we don't know what kind of method that Satan will use to tempt us.
尼希米借着神赐给他的智慧呢，再一次的看穿了敌人的阴谋。
And Nehemiah uses God's wisdom so that he could see through the attack.
在我们日常的生活当中里面呢，我们也会经常碰到一些外面的攻击。
In our daily life, we often face this attack from the outside.
我们呢，有时候很多的时候，我们会忽略呢，其实这个问题是从内部来的，而不是从外部来的。
But sometimes we don't recognize that these attacks are actually from inside rather than out.
我们今天来看，从这个我们第五章、第六章里面，我们有几个基本的原则，让我们来处理。当我们面对危机的时候，我们应该怎么来处理？
And so from chapter 5 and 6, we see some basic principles of how to deal with crisis.
在一个教会里面呢，不论或小或大的教会里面呢，都会有很多的事情。
In a church, no matter great or small, there's going to be many problems.
牧师呢，或者同工呢，会有很多的事情要做。
Pastors or the co-workers often have many things to do.
有时候呢，就会忽略了会众的需要。
And sometimes, the needs of the congregation could be missed.
就像我们这样的例子，照我们了解尼希米，他怎么可能会让这个老百姓这个收高利贷的问题造成老百姓这个生活上的困难呢？
And if we consider Nehemiah, how could he have allowed the issue of usury become so big?
很可能是因为他太忙了。
Perhaps because he was too busy.
因此他没有注意到过去一直认为是对的规定，因为时代，因为时空不一样，现在已经不太一样了。
And perhaps he did not pay attention to what the accepted custom of the time.
其实我们经常也会犯一些同样的错误。
And we often fall into the same problem.
我们一直过去遵循的规则呢，我们也就理所当然的一直用下去。
The rules and regulations that we have followed in the past, we just continue to do them.
今天我讲提出这个问题来，并不是说要大家把所有的规定都推翻。
And I mentioned this not so that we could throw away all the rules and regulations.
我要强调的是说，当一个教会、一个团体里面，当有会友提出来说一些问题的时候。
What I want to mention is that if a problem is brought up by a member,
我们可以持一个正面的态度。
We can have a positive attitude.
借着这一个机会，再一次来审查这个做法是不是对神最好，是不是对教会最好。
We could reevaluate the way we do things. Is it the best for God and the best for the congregation?
第二点。
And the second point.
当尼希米责备那些官长的时候，
When Nehemiah rebuked the rulers,
他不单单是用神的话语，
Not only did he use God's word,
他用他个人的生活见证，
He also used his personal testimony.
其实生活的见证是一个最好的见证方式，
And actually your personal life is the best witness.
但也是最挑战性的，
But it's also the most challenging.
假如我们弟兄姐妹有心在教会里面，在工作上，在家庭里面，都有好的见证的话。
If brothers and sisters have a heart to have a good witness in church, at work, in your home,
你就必须注意你自己的时间的分配。
Then you must watch how you spend your time.
尤其在教会里面的侍奉。
Especially the service in church.
一定要找到搭配的同工。
You need to find partners to work with.
互相扶持。
To encourage each other.
因为假如工教会一个事工的负担完全落在某些人身上的时候。
Because if all the ministry of a church falls only on a few people,
当事人或者是家里面都会受到影响。
So the people around them and also their family will be impacted.
可能的结果就是会是你在教会里或许有见证。
And so perhaps you will have a testimony at church.
但是有可能你在教会在工作上或在家里就失掉了见证。
But perhaps at work or in your home, you have lost your testimony.
我们求神能让我们在教会的生活里面，在一个信徒的生活里面，都能够像主耶稣基督一样，神和人喜爱他的心同时增长。
And so, I hope that our lives would be just like the life of Jesus, where he grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and men.
第三个，教会事工当中。难免有时候会因为各种的原因发生不和。
And thirdly, in a church ministry, various reasons cause a disunity.
这种会对教会带来立刻的伤害。
And this could cause immediate harm to the church.
当犹大的百姓不能够同心建造城墙的时候，这个建造城墙，这工作就会停止的。
When the Jewish people stop building building the wall, there's a problem.
一个原本利益出发点很好的事工，因为内部的不和，这个事工就变得完全没有意义。
When meaningful ministry began to experience disunity, then the ministry itself becomes meaningless.
一个教会的事工一定要这个团体侍奉的团体呢，一定要变成一个很和谐的团队。
And so the ministry in the church, they must have unity.
彼此和好，彼此相爱。
There must be unity and love between brothers and sisters.
因为这样呢，你才有可能可以很高高兴兴的去做这个工作。
Because then you could do it with joy.
彼得在彼得后书三章十八节里面，他也鼓励我们。
And Peter also encourages us.
要我们在恩典和知识上同时有长进。
That we will continue to grow in grace and in wisdom.
因为内部合一呢，的教会才是一个真正健康、神喜悦的教会。
Because when there's unity, then that's a healthy church that is pleasing to God.
很多人或许最近在这个 Super Bowl， 在网上看到那个 Super Bowl 的那个最后的访问这些事情。
And some of you may have paid attention to the Super Bowl and the interviews.
他们这个访问呢，就是访问那个美国这个宾州这个老鹰队，他比赛之前他们一起祷告，然后比赛之后访问了几个球员跟教练。
And they interview Philadelphia Eagles before that their prayer before they and also they interviewed some players afterwards.
他们重复你去注意的话，他们重复里面最多的一句话就是把荣耀，把这个胜利的荣耀归给神。
And one of the things that they repeated was giving the glory to God for their win.
尼希米建造城墙的经过给我个人很大的启示。
And the process of Nehemiah rebuilding the wall had given me great insight.
我看到一个神施恩的手怎么样在一个愿意跟神搭配的人身上造就了奇迹。
And I saw how God's gracious hand has brought about a great miracle through someone who's willing to serve him.
他们能够在这种内忧外患之下能够在52天把这城墙建造完成。
And that even amidst the internal attacks and external problems, that they were able to rebuild the wall in 52 days.
这是一个奇迹。
That's a miracle.
尼希米是一个随时祷告依靠神的人。
Nehemiah was a man of prayer who prayed continuously and relied on God.
这也是他能够成功的把城墙建造完成的最主要原因。
And this is also the main reason why he was able to rebuild the wall.
另外一个就是他愿意把成功、把胜利的荣耀归给神。
And also he was willing to give the victory and the results to God.
就像我们回顾到在尼希米记二章十八节里面，他刚刚到耶路撒冷的时候，他怎么样跟犹大的民众说话
？And we remember how he spoke to the Jews when he first got to Jerusalem in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 18.
他告诉这些老百姓，神施恩的手怎么带领他，怎么帮助他，怎么供应他一切工作上的需要。
And he talked about how God's gracious hand has watched over him and given him all that he needed.
摩西去世以后呢，约书亚就成了第二代的这个以色列人的领袖。
After Moses passed away, Joshua became the leader of the second generation.
耶和华呢，神呢，就用一句话，两句话，其实我们只念，就是来鼓励约书亚。
And God gave Joshua words to encourage him.
我们今天就用这句话作为我们今天信息的结束。
And we will wrap up with this.
约书亚记第一章第九节，我岂没有吩咐你吗？你当刚强壮的，不要惧怕，也不要惊慌，因为你无论往哪里去，耶和华你的神必与你同在。
Joshua 1:9.Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
我们一起低头做个祷告。
Let us pray.
主，我们谢谢你今天给我们这个时间，再一次的去探讨尼希米他建造城墙的经过。
Lord, we thank you for giving us this time that we could once again look at the process of Nehemiah rebuilding the wall.
所以因为你的应许，因为你的同在，你让尼希米记，你让这些犹大人能够在52天之内奇迹式的完成了这个圣城城墙的建造。
And we see that because of your promise and your presence with the Jews that they were able to finish the wall in 52 days.
主，我们知道若不是耶和华建造房屋，建造房屋的人就枉然劳力。
And Lord, we know that unless the Lord builds a house, they build it in vain.
所以赐给我们信心，也赐给我们凡事愿意依靠你的心。
Please give us faith and a heart that's willing to trust you.
让我们能够有一个合一的心。
Give us a heart of unity.
我们能够在今天的世代里面做光、做盐、做你的见证。
So in this world, we may be salt and light and your witness.
祷告是奉主耶稣基督的名求。
We pray this in Jesus' name.